Turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 17. Book of Joshua, chapter 17. I want to read two verses. Verses that I was reading in Joshua last Monday and never could get past these two verses. We'll read verse 3 and verse 4. But Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Maker, the son of Manasseh, had no sons, but daughters. And these are the names of his daughters: Mahla and Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. And they, these five sisters, came near before Eleazar the priest, and before Joshua the son of Nun, and before the princes, saying, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us inheritance among our brethren. Therefore, according to the commandment of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among the brethren of their father." Now, this may seem like a very strange text, but there is a wonderful example set forth in these two verses for you and I. In these verses, we read of a man by the name of Zelophehad. We are told of his descent. He was the son of Hepher. Hepher was the son of Gilead, and it just works its way down. So we're told something of this man's descent. Then we are told that he had no sons, but he did have daughters. And he had five daughters, and their names are given there in verse 3. Then we are told in verse 4 of something that these five sisters did. And what they did serves as an example of how we are to live. And if that example is followed, our lives will be greatly enriched. We're going to speak tonight on wanting and claiming everything that God said we can have. Wanting and claiming everything that God said we could have. First thing we want to do is just consider the background of these two verses that we've read. Prior to the book of Joshua, we know that the Israelites had been delivered from Egyptian bondage, which of course is a type, a picture of the salvation experience. We see that following this, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, during which time God described to them the land, the promised land, known as Canaan. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Deuteronomy 6, verses 10 and 11. Again, this is while they're wandering in the wilderness, God describes this land to them. Verse 10, he says, "And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land, which he sware, which he promised unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So it was promised before they were even born. Promise in the past, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. So God tells them of this land that he had promised their fathers. Over and over, as they wander through the wilderness, they are reminded of the opportunity, and they are reminded of their responsibility toward this promised land, this land that God had promised them. We read in Deuteronomy 1 and verse 8, he says, "Behold, I have set the land before you." I have set this promised land, the land that I promised you, I have set it before you. Go in and possess the land. That is, go in and take what I've given you. Go in and take what I have promised you. Deuteronomy 1 and 21, we read, "Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it." So possessing the promised land is mentioned 31 times directly in the book of Deuteronomy. And we read in Leviticus 20 and verse 24, "I will give it unto you to possess it." To possess it. "A land that floweth with milk and honey." In Numbers 33 and verse 53, we read, "For I have given you the land to possess it." So we see Israel wandering in this wilderness, and God reminds them over and over and over, "I have promised you a land. I have given you that land. I have set that land before you. Go and take it." And he's telling them this over and over and over. Then we come to the book of Joshua. And the theme of the book of Joshua is the conquest, the occupation, the acquisition, the appropriation of the land. Or you can look at it as the conquest, the occupation, the acquisition, the appropriation of what God promised. That is the theme of the book of Joshua. And such ought to be the story of our life. Acquiring what God has already promised us. Appropriating it to our life. The theme of Joshua is underscored by its very name, Joshua. The name Joshua simply means Jehovah is salvation, or the Lord is the conqueror. And again, that's what Joshua is about. It's about conquest. It's about conquering. And the life of a child of God ought to manifest such. Again, Romans 8 verse 37, "We are more than conquerors through him that loved us." So the book of Joshua illustrates this truth. We are to live lives of conquest. Our lives ought to be an illustration, a living illustration of the book of Joshua. So in Joshua, the Israelites actually enter into the land that God had promised, the land of Canaan. Which, of course, and we've preached many times, is a type. I don't believe it's a type of heaven. But it is a type of a higher plane of Christian living. It is the land of blessing. And I believe it represents the enjoyment of the inheritance now. It's the enjoyment of the present inheritance of the child of God. The book of Joshua is the message of possessing spiritual ground, and that ought to be our life, possessing spiritual ground, possessing what God has already promised is ours, what God has already given us. Over and over in our lives, I believe God is saying, just like He did to the children of Israel, there it is. There's what I promised you. I've set it right there. Go in and get it. And we, like the children of Israel, just wander in circles. The conquest and occupation of Canaan represents enjoying God's best for us. Now. Now. So in our text, the Israelites have possessed the land of Canaan. And now it is time to divide it by lot. The time has come for the receiving and the appropriation of what God had promised them. Now in our text, our attention is drawn to the family of Zelophehad, his five daughters, which takes us back to Numbers chapter 27, if we go there. Numbers chapter 27. What we read here has reference, what we read in Joshua has reference to Numbers 27, verses 1 through 11. And we want to read all of these verses. Then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Maker, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these are the names of his daughters, Mala, Noah, Hagla, Milcah, and Tirzah. And here's what they did. They stood before Moses. And they stood before Eleazar, the priest, and before the princes and all the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of a congregation, saying, our father, Zelophehad, died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah. But he died in his own sin and had no sons. What that means is he was of that generation that died in the wilderness. But he has no sons. Why? This is the daughter speaking. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family because he hath no son? Give unto us therefore a possession among the brethren of our father. And Moses brought their cause before the Lord. There's a message there also. And the Lord spake unto Moses. So as Moses is praying, God spoke to Moses. And here's what God said. The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. That is, they speak correctly. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren. And thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a man die and hath no son, then you shall cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter. Before that, it just didn't exist. I mean, you were just, for lack of a better word, out of luck. If you have no daughter, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his brethren. And if he have no brethren, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his father's brethren. And if his father hath no brethren, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his kinsmen that is next to him of his family, and he shall possess it, and it shall be unto the children of Israel a statute of judgment, as the Lord commanded Moses. So these five daughters, these five sisters, realize that upon the death of the father, that when it came time to receive the inheritance of Canaan, that there was going to be a problem within their family because the father had no sons. And since the allocations were made to male family heads, the family name of Zelophehad would become extinct. And the daughters realized this. So they took their dilemma to Moses and pleaded the faithfulness of their father. They did not plead any merit of themselves. They pleaded the faithfulness of their father. We see that again in verse 3 and verse 4. Our father, he says, our father was not of the company of Korah, who rose up against God, who rose up against Moses. Our father was faithful. He was one of those who died. He was of that generation that died in the wilderness because of their unbelief. But he was faithful. He was not of Korah. And we read in verse 5 that Moses brought their case or brought their cause before the Lord. And the result was that God spoke to Moses, and Moses basically said, God said to Moses, you give these girls their inheritance. You give them their inheritance. So back in Numbers 27, these daughters were promised an inheritance through the person of Zelophehad, through the person and through the faithfulness of that man who was their father. Now that name, Zelophehad, means firstborn. Now that's exciting. His name means firstborn. These daughters received a promise through the firstborn. They had no merit on their own, but they received the promise through the firstborn. We, the children of the firstborn, Jesus Christ, have an inheritance. It's promised us through Jesus Christ. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, for all the promises of God in Him, that is in Christ, are yea. You know, yea isn't that difficult. People today, well, we need NIV because we can't understand yea. Yea means yes. It's not that hard. All the promises of God in Christ are yes. And in Him, amen. Or certainty. Under the glory of God by us. So coming to our text in Joshua 17. These five daughters of Zelophehad, having more trouble saying his name, Zelophehad, had received a promise back in Numbers 27. So they received a promise in the past of the blessings of God. And now they're in Joshua 17, they're in the promised land. The inheritance is being divided up. And they, with courage and great boldness, go and stand before Joshua and Eleazar. Back in Numbers 27, it was Moses and Eleazar. But now Moses, of course, is dead. They stand before Joshua and Eleazar. Eleazar is the priest, which is a type of the Holy Spirit. And what they say is, paraphrasing, is we want what belongs to us, and we are here to claim the promise. We are here today to claim the promise that we received back in Numbers chapter 27. And we are here to claim that promise on the basis of our Father. We're here to claim that promise on the basis of another. So that's the background of our text. So now consider the action, what these five daughters did. Consider them as our example. We, the saved, have received promise in Jesus Christ. We have received an abundance of promises in Jesus Christ. And those promises are certain. They are yes and amen. They are certain. And here we are. We've received the promises in the past. And here we are in the present. And we need to have the same attitude, the same spirit of these five sisters. We're here to claim the promise. That's what they're saying. That needs to be our attitude. We're here to claim. Not on the basis of who we are, but on the basis of the firstborn, Jesus Christ. We are here to claim the promises. Now, in the present. In our text, what they are saying is, we desire to have everything that Moses promised we could have back in Numbers 27. So these five daughters of Zelophehad only wanted what was rightfully theirs through the faithfulness of another. There are things that are rightfully ours, not because of anything we have done. They are rightfully ours because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. They belong to us. They are ours. And they are ours for right now. We, the saved, have been justified by the grace of God. We have passed from death unto life. We have the forgiveness of sins. We have been reconciled to God. We have been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed or delivered from the curse of the law, delivered from eternal death, delivered from the power of darkness. We, right now, not in the future, we right now are the sons and daughters of God. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Right now, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. We have rest for our souls. God is our strength. God is our helper. Our feet have been planted on the rock, Jesus Christ. We are kept by the power of God. Our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And as such, there is a higher plane of living for you and I. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy salvation. It's ours now, and it's rightfully ours. It's rightfully ours because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And we need to say, just as these five daughters said, I want what's mine. I want what God has promised me. I'm here to claim what God has promised. Again, not based upon anything we have done, but based upon what Christ has done. So right before these five daughters of Zelophehad was opportunity. was privilege and abundance. The land is about to be divided. And they approach Joshua and Eleazar and they say, "We desire to appropriate what has been promised to us. We want what has been promised to us. We want it. We are here to claim the promise made to us through the faithfulness of another." So before you and I, as the children of the firstborn, God has promised us spiritual abundance in Jesus Christ. That is a promise. We realize the perfect fulfillment of that promise is in glory. We realize that. But don't kid yourself. That doesn't mean that there's no such promise here. There is a spiritual abundance that we can have right now. And it's rightfully ours. It's rightfully ours. It's been promised us in Jesus Christ. Right before us, right now, we have the promise that we can have a life of fellowship with God. That's a promise through Jesus Christ. That you and I can have a personal relationship with God every day of our lives. That's a promise. That we have the promise of a life of peace, a life of assurance. And when we say a life of peace, we don't mean a life free of difficulties. We don't mean a life free of persecution. We mean a life of enjoying the peace of God in our hearts. And there's the promise of assurance. God promises us, you can know, you can know. I don't have to wait to heaven to know. I can know right now. That's a promise. There is the promise of spiritual growth. We can grow spiritually. That promise is right before us every single day. There is the promise of joy. All in Christ. There's the promise of power. Spiritual victory. There's the promise of simply enjoying God's best in life. That ought to be our life right now. Enjoying God's best for us. God has promised us an abundance in this life. In this life. And so many of God's people are living like they have nothing here, but when they get the glory, they'll have it all. I agree, when you get the glory, you'll have it all. But don't live like you have nothing here. We have the promises of God. We can enjoy God's very best right now. And we, like these five daughters, ought to be filled with a desire, a longing, a hunger, a thirst for what has been promised us right now. Again, we don't have to wait till we get to heaven. There are blessings for right now. And these daughters, they're desiring and they're longing for this inheritance that was promised them. And they're there to claim it. And we need to do the same thing. Like these five daughters of Zelophehad, they sought what was rightfully theirs because of another. And we ought to live our lives seeking what is rightfully ours through the person and through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Like these five daughters of Zelophehad, we ought to be pleading. They came before Joshua and Eleazar, and they're pleading, "We want what was promised us back in Numbers 27. We want the promises now. We're here to claim those promises." We need to do that every day. We need to plead for what is rightfully ours in Jesus Christ. Now, I think it's dangerous ground, and you're going to be guilty of the height of hypocrisy, to go to God and claim something based on what you've done. It's very dangerous, because if you're going to do that, then you also have to do the other side of that, which is everything you've done wrong, you need to get what you deserve there too. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't even want to go there. So, we just plead for what's ours in Christ. And what's ours in Christ, again, is a life of fellowship, a life of joy, life of peace, life of assurance. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew 7, very familiar verses. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask, and it shall be given you. Isn't that what these five daughters did? They asked based on a promise. And that's how we're to ask. We're to ask based upon the promise of God. Ask and it should be given you. Seek, that's what they were doing, and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. And he goes on in verse 10, if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Verse 9, if he ask bread, will he give him a stone? No, God's promised to give me bread. So I have every right to ask for bread. And knowing that God is faithful, he's not going to give me a rock. He's going to give me bread. And I have the right to ask that because of Christ, because God has promised. Now notice in James chapter 4, James chapter 4, verse 2. Ye lust, or ye desire, but ye have not. That describes a lot of lives of God's people. They want fellowship with God, but they don't have it. They want assurance, but they don't have it. They want peace, but they don't have it. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, ye have not. And here's why. Because ye ask not. Ye do not ask for what is rightfully yours. Ye have not because ye ask not. And someone will say, but I don't feel worthy of making a claim. You've missed the whole point. You're not worthy. It has nothing to do with your worthiness. It has everything to do with His worthiness. And that's what gives us the right to ask. I mean, who am I to ask for fellowship with God? What can I base that on in my life? Nothing. But I can go to God and say, you promised me through Christ that I could live in fellowship with you. And I'm here to claim that. Because of Christ. That's what these daughters were doing. What a way to live. But I'm afraid most of God's people, we don't live that way. Notice in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that you have a great high priest. The C is to be convinced, okay? So we're convinced that we have this great high priest. So it's not about us, it's about him. And this great high priest has passed into the heavens. And he tells us who it is. It is Jesus, the Son of God. Seeing that we have this great high priest, let us hold fast our profession. The basis of holding fast our profession is we have this high priest. That's the basis. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. So he's telling us something about the character of our high priest. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. But what we want to notice is verse 16. Let us therefore. The therefore goes back to we have Christ as a high priest. Goes back to everything that is said about him in verse 15. Let us therefore come boldly. Boldly. There is nothing in me. There is nothing in you that would give you the right to come boldly into the presence of God. Nothing. But we can come boldly because it's not about us. It's about Him. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. The throne of grace. Once again, showing that it's not based upon us, it's based upon Him. That we may obtain. Is that not what these five daughters wanted? They just wanted to obtain what was promised them. That's all they wanted. We're here to obtain. We're here to get what was promised us. That ought to be our attitude every day. Lord, here we are. We want what you've promised us. Notice, obtain mercy. God has promised us mercy in Jesus Christ and grace to help in time of need. So like these five daughters of Zelophehad, we ought not settle for less than what has been promised us in Jesus Christ. And I'll just speak for myself, but I'm sure we're all guilty. We are guilty of settling for less. I'm talking about right now in present life. I am guilty of settling for less than what has been promised me in Jesus Christ. And we can come up with all the reasons. We can say, well, I'm not worthy. You're 100% correct. It has nothing to do with anything. It's all about Him. So all that we would live, having the same spirit, the same attitude of these five sisters, that in this life, I simply want to obtain what God has promised me. Simply want to lay hold of, have in my possession what God has promised me through the person and the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. So may we live our lives wanting what God has promised us. Let us not be guilty of, oh, things are really bad. But when we get to glory, it's all going to be better. That's very true. And that's something to look forward to. But it kind of sends the message that we don't have anything here. But we do. We have all the promises of God, and we ought to want them. We ought to want them, and we ought to claim them. The devil will tell us, you're not worthy of that. You've done this, 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 therefore you cannot have that. God said, I've promised it to you through Christ. We need to claim it. We need to claim it. We need to claim what God has promised. Many times we need to just go to God. We can't plead any merit on our behalf, and all we can say is, Lord, I claim such and such a verse. I claim it today. You said this is what you do, and Lord, I'm here to ask you to do just that. And we're able to do that boldly. Not because we're somebody, but because He's somebody. Because of Jesus Christ. So that we would live our lives appropriating everything that God has promised us in Christ. Appropriating everything that God has said that we can have. It is as God has said to me, Dan, you can have this in my Son. It's yours. Go in and possess it. Why wouldn't I go in and possess it? What in the world would keep me from going in and possessing what God has said? There it is. That's what He's telling Israel all through their wanderings. There it is. There it is. Go in and possess it. Round and round and round they go. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live round and round and round. God has given me promises and He set them right before me. And I have every right, because of who Jesus is, to claim that promise and say, I want it. I want what God said I can have. I need it right now. I'm here to claim it. So the God, we see, though this is somewhat of an unusual text in Joshua 17, verses 3 and 4, there's a wonderful lesson for you and I on how to look at our lives and how to live our lives. And I pray that God would give us the grace to boldly approach the throne of grace based upon who Jesus is, based upon the promises that are in Him. He is our assurance, and everything that God has promised us in Him is ours. And we don't have to wait for everything. I realize some things we have to wait for. We have to wait for a glorified body. And some of those things. But we have plenty right now that cause us to live above this world if we would just claim what God has already promised that we can have. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.